Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Flex Cortex podcast. Today, I'm joined by Rob, and we're going to be talking about fulfillment today and trying to be fulfilled in all aspects of life. And Rob has a very unique story, and I think it's going to be really cool to talk about where he was versus where he is now and what brought him through that whole process. So first of all, thank you so much for coming on today, man. I've been looking forward to this podcast for probably at least 2 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks. And considering all the talks that we have, I have no doubt in my mind this will be exceptional. So, yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on. I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, man, just like all the conversations we've had in the gym being like, oh my gosh, what are we talking about this now for? Like, save it for the pod, save it for the pod. So let's see where it goes.
Yeah, so first thing, everybody that comes on the podcast, I like to have them introduce themselves a little bit, give the viewers and the listeners some context as to who you are, where you kind of came from. So I started off usually with like what got you into fitness. But I think for you, let's hear like your story of what you were doing and then what drifted you towards fitness and what brought you to now running your own thing out of the vault.
Sure. Yeah. So thanks for the handoff. My name is Rob Shalafu. I am a personal trainer slash coach for about 15 years now, but at different points in my life, I have moonlighted as a reality TV star, multi-platinum Juno nominated boy band member. I've been a drug addict. I've been an alcoholic. I've been many a things at certain points, and it's all led me to this wonderful place I'm in now. Where I own my company called Alchemy Strength at Running Out of the Vault in Edmonton. And it has been a war to get here, brother. An absolute war. Like, you know, people are like, hey, like, here's my dream. Let's do everything to get at it. Here was my dream. And then it was here. Then it was here. Then it was here. And I basically took this possible way to get there.
The path less traveled.
Gone. Yeah.
So let's talk about like everything. Let's talk about when you got into music, how you felt being in music. Let's even get into like the lack of fulfillment you felt within that too. And like, and what pushed you towards personal training and wanting to like help.
Sure. Okay. Well, let me give you the full rundown here. Okay. So I'm 38 years old, grew up in North Edmonton. From day one, my life was basically divided into two parts with parents that split up young, and I could be one person at my dad's and one person at my mom's. And basically how that worked out is mom was really into pumping music and art and, you know, inner adventure and finding like just a lot of exploration of the inner self and the world. Dad was a different story. It was very regimented, more military style. You know, hockey was my entire existence. I ate for hockey performance. I worked out for hockey performance at a very young age all the time. And like many people we've heard in that situation, I ran from it. You know, it pushed me away. I love athletics. I love hockey. It's truly like it was my first love in this world. But at that point, I was figuring out who I was. And it was the 90s and the early 2000s. And I've loved fitness and the gym and sports equally as music and art, and the balance of both in my life has truly been, I would say, the seesaw of chaos and happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to Victoria School of Performing Arts at downtown Edmonton here, and in grade 12, I was kind of playing in some fun bands. Hockey was kind of taking a turn for me. I knew I wasn't going to go professional anywhere, but I also didn't really, I mean, every guy that never made it says this, but like, oh, I didn't care about it. But at the time, all I could think about was being in a band, and I had a very strong sense that that is what I was supposed to do, almost to blind faith in a way that no one could tell me otherwise. Parents being like, you want to go live on a beach in California and try and make it? I'm like, yeah, that sounds perfect. That's exactly what I want to do. And I don't know, I think about this all the time now, but somehow they let me leave in grade 12. I had to get permission from both my parents to cross the border, and I started touring the United States. And I had done, oh boy, like probably four times across every single state by the time I turned 18. From then, again, I'm not living healthy all in this. Now, I wasn't drinking alcohol or doing drugs, but I'm eating dollar menu every night. I have, like, when hockey ended, I didn't, there's nothing, you couldn't have paid me to touch a weight. I just, no, I'm not going to go put a tracksuit on and run around in a field. That's what off-ice training was like back in the 90s and the 2000s, the early 2000s. Just, there was no cool, like, sports stuff like there is now. So down there, we're playing like emo, screamo bands that were big at that time. And me and my friends from Edmonton, we were like, you know, we like pop music too. Let's write some catchy songs and let's really make a career out of this. Cause like, there's no, we all grew up listening to like metal, like rock, like EDM, but we always loved like Mariah Carey or like just hits, man. Just, I loved the hit. And there was something about the song on the radio that just, it felt like it was going to check a box or fulfill me in a way. And I'm gonna get to that in a point, or make another point on that in a second here. But so we wrote a song in 2006 that we thought was really, or no, yeah, it was during the Oilers Cup run in 06. We wrote the song. It was kind of a joke at the start, and we were like, well, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, there's some auto tune in it. There's like, it's got a catchy vibe. There's a little R&B influence, but we're still these like punk rock tattooed kids. And long story short, that was the MySpace days, and Gene Simmons from Kiss, through the turns of the wheels of fortune and fate, found me on there. And flew us to Toronto. We did a reality show, and before I knew it, I had the number 1, 2, and 3 song in Canada in 2009 and 2010. Cue drugs, cue alcohol, cue all the things we'll talk about after this. Got washed out, got chewed up, spit out over and over again by California, by the American music industry. Had some success in Canada. Hit rock bottom. Hit a new rock bottom one day. Picked up, I can't remember what it was. I think I was reading like something about sports or like checking in on the Oilers from a hotel room in, I think, Florida or Miami. And I was just sick of after partying. I was sick of being hungover. And I was trying to remember what made me feel good. And I was like, well, I always felt really good after hockey practice, even though I didn't like it. So the thought of like, oh, like stressing your system for an endorphin release afterwards. And instead of the party, I went to the hotel gym. And I think I like hopped on a treadmill in bare feet for 20 minutes, probably threw up everywhere from it. But that feeling afterwards was better than any drug, any drink or drug I've ever had in my life. And I've truly, with, you know, a very zigzaggy course, never looked back. And that was in, gosh, 2012. So I've been at it since then. Worked for many a company and private out of the vault now. And I couldn't be happier to be with the team I'm with now and the place I'm at in life. That was a long-winded answer.
That's what we're here for, man. And I find it so interesting because everybody strives for this arbitrary metric or this arbitrary target, right? So that's why I find your story so fascinating. And I know that you mention it a lot, and like, I don't want to identify you as just solely this guy that was in the stereos, because you're so much more, you're Rob. But stereos was just a part of your life. But I do think that it's so fascinating how like people could strive for, you know, having that metric or that target. Like, you know, if somebody had the point where they had the top 3 songs in Canada, right? You would think that they'd be at a point where they're like, I've made it. Right. Yeah. So it's interesting how like for you, like you hit that point and you're like, oh man, this is not what I thought it would be. There has to be more.
Yeah.
And to like leave that behind and still have it be a part of you, but still, you know, move forward and have now fitness be that thing for you, I think is very unique, but also very, it's very cool. And I think it's something that really defines you as a person.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that. I thought that one external factor would bring the answers to all that was missing inside me at the point of my life that was happening. And I dreamed of going on tour with my friends and, you know, like literally playing like 500 people in a show, and I'm gonna do that for the rest of my life. And that used to give me this feeling that like playing live music to a crowd that is receptive to you, is, it's unlike anything. But it's also like, I don't know, when you leave a really good session coached, it's very similar. When you're driving home and you're like, man, I really made an impact, I know what I'm talking about, they had a good time. But like my clients, is just that provides an inner fulfillment, right? Mm-hmm. But it, when we got to the top of what our career was, and I did not feel like I had imagined it would feel like. And if you talk to other guys in the group as well, like, I'm sure there were days where truly it was the best thing ever. And it's what we all dreamed of. And it was like, oh, I want to be in the NHL or I want to be a rock star. And it worked, man. It happened. And it was crazy to see the adoration and everyone, like, it just, I was young when it happened too. I was only 22, 23. And I think about this all the time, and we've talked about this so much. Like, it was a very tough pill to swallow when I realized that even though I was so grateful for everything that I got to do in that band and still continue to do, and it's my best friends ever, and I would, like, that's my family, those guys. When it wasn't answering the questions that I thought it would answer for me, I felt lost, and I truthfully didn't know what to do next. And it led to drugs and alcohol, and it took a long time. I'm 5 years sober now, but it took a long time to get.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it ties into dopamine versus serotonin, right? Like, I think a lot of people, not just yourself, but even, like, people in general, we are striving for that next dopamine hit or that dopamine rush. Yeah. And that's all extrinsic things, right? It's like things that we've accomplished, things that we do, whereas we need to be, and this is something that I've even realized for myself too, just as time has gone on, is we should be striving for more things that are intrinsic, right? How it makes us feel as a person, things that really resonate with our identity, our morals and our values, and who we are as people. Where it's hard though, because we're kind of in a society where it's normalized and it's almost talked about more frequently than not, that, you know, to be successful, I'm air quoting this for people that are listening, you need to be achieving said thing or achieving said multiple things. But really, when it comes down to it, is it's fulfillment is such an internal thing. And I just mentioned this story on the last podcast I did with Cody, but I'm going to mention it again because it ties into this perfectly. When I was traveling, I was actually in Puerto Rico for like 2 weeks, and we were just doing like the whole hostel thing, and it was a lot of fun. But I met this one guy, and he really stands out because this is super interesting. When we were there, we stayed with this one guy, and he was working at the hostel. And for those people that don't know why you'd want to work at a hostel, they include your stay and your food for free. If you're choosing to work and help out, you stay there for no cost. They're giving you your meals. They even give you a little bit of like a living allowance to sustain your life there while you're working in that hostel. And you're also helping out the hostel too. So I remember I found this guy so cool. And I remember we talked with him because I was like, who is this guy? Right.
Yeah.
And he lived out of a backpack. So, and I was curious because I'm like, well, what's your life like? Like, I want to hear what brought you to this hostel. Right. And he used to work in a big office job. He had like a bachelor's of in business and everything. And he told me that, you know, he had a nice car, he had a nice house, he had a good cushy job where he was making good money, and he had, you know, women, he had whatever. He had a lot of things that people would look at and see, well, you must be so happy.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
But then when I talked to him, he said that he felt very empty. So he sold everything. Sold his car, sold his house, sold most things that he didn't know and didn't need, and he kept things that he thought were essential. A laptop, a charger, a phone. He had like this a portable charger, obviously, and he had like a week's worth of clothes. And he lived out of a tent on the beach. So to most people, they would look at that and be like, that's poverty.
Oh, man. Sounds awesome.
But for him, that was abundance, you know? So that's it's so interesting how like, but it's, again, if you look at it from externally, you would see that and you're like, this guy's homeless. But like, it's a lifestyle that he chose, and he's arguably having more fulfillment from that than he was from a position where it was secure, it was stable. He was able to work up the ladder and, you know, be in a financially cushy position. But again, like, to ties into today's topic, the fulfillment and the purpose just wasn't there.
It's interesting hearing that story. And I think we all have a story like that. Us that have been lucky enough to just run into people that I would argue now at this point in my life have been put in our life for a reason. What does that or who does that? I can't answer for you. there seems to be too much synchronicity in my life of who I've encountered. And just, I've been lucky to travel and go to some places I never thought I would go to, but I try to do it at a later part in my life when I got a little bit, I had a couple of tools in the toolkit, right? Keep that open vibe out and conversation, like what we're doing now and what led to this is truly what the world, I believe, needs to do as much as possible is talking to each other, you know, regardless of what your background is, regardless of what your thoughts are in this, like that's how we move forward. And when we're constantly searching for that external validation, material possession, all those kind of things, which I've done and I'm still guilty of doing. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. And with anything I say here is things that have worked for me, and I'm never going to push it on anybody. Everybody is different, and everybody has a certain combination of life experiences that are going to require a certain combination of things to make them feel good. But I know one thing that I really got sick of, and it might come across harsh, but people would look at the optics, right? Of what do you mean you're sad? What do you mean you're feeling suicidal today? You have the number one song, you're doing this. And what I'm telling you, I've had dark days, as we all have, but some of the darkest ones would be the ones where people from the outside would be like, what's this kid complaining about? He's got everything he wants. And it's just not true. So anytime I hear some celebrity athlete, blah, 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 like, oh, what are they crying about? Like, millionaire. I'm like, well, I know what comes with all that. I've never been a millionaire by any means. But I know that if you can have all the things in the world. And we hear this over and over again with whether it's a deathbed confession, whether it's, you know, people at the later stage of their life with all that wisdom, which I think is so important that we talk to people that have been around longer than us, you know, have taken this ride and like stayed on it longer than we've been here for the years that we've been on here. And they all seem to say that same thing. And we see it in an old religious text. We see it in anything like. It is about how you feel on the inside and your deep, you know, familial relationships that truly lead to happiness. And I believe that to be true with every ounce of my being and the world we live in. I believe we are starting to figure it out. And I love people. I believe in the world. And I believe in humans. And we're so cool. We're never going to hear about all those good things. And all we're going to hear about is, you know, bad things on the news. But there is wonderful love-based things. But our society we're currently in right now is exactly like you said, that external, but external to get it, right? Like what can I add to myself that will finish me? And it's like, that's not true. You're perfect. You're complete. It's all inside you to find. But when we talking about fulfillment, we think about, you know, like inner fulfillment. What is that? That's completely subjective to each person.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the double-edged swords component of social media, right? Like, I am blessed for social media because I've met some incredible people on there, and like I've made some very good connections through social media, and like obviously a large part of my business is run through social media. So again, for me to say that I don't like it would be very hypocritical. So I do like it to a degree, and I think there's a ton of value in it, but I do think that what it does is it instills value based off of arbitrary metrics like follower count, views, likes. Again, a lot of metrics that aren't real.
And that's on purpose.
Yeah.
That's playing into addiction. That's playing into dopamine.
Yeah.
The platform itself, like YouTube. Let's look at YouTube for a second, okay? If someone would have told me when I was a kid that there was a platform out there that for free I could upload anything I wanted to create my own content, oh my God, I would have tried to write the fifth Jurassic Park movie or six or seven. Or whatever. Back then it was only, I think, like Lost World. So I'm like, that's all I can
do. Yeah.
But YouTube for me has given me the chance to access information that probably just would have been too lazy to go to the library for. And it feels like the true Library of Alexandria. Where as much baloney is out there, there's some wonderful things too. And it's your job to have, I believe, your responsibility to have discernment to know. And we all learned a lot of that in the last world events in the last 5 years, how to think for yourself and, you know, how to not just blindly follow things because we're told to. And we're not like that. Instagram is another thing though, right? Half of my life, like I'm a millennial, so a lot of my life didn't happen. But Instagram came 2 years into stereo. So the first years of my fame were like, it was Twitter, man. That was it. And Twitter was pretty wild back then. But whatever it is now, or like this next version of it. Just if that was out when I was growing up, all of my worth from who I was and what I was lacking at that time would be put into how many likes did I get on this, how many views did I get on that. And if it brings happiness to you, I'm never going to get in the way of it. But what I've seen is this creates more problems than not. Platform to express yourself all day. Oh, the comments and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't know if that's what that's going to do.
I think that is the key differentiation though, that you just mentioned though, a platform to express yourself, not to validate yourself.
Yeah. Not to validate yourself. Exactly.
So I think to express yourself genuinely and authentically, right? But not to validate who you are, but to just solely express and try to be express things as that you're passionate about. It could be anything. It could be music. It could be what we're doing here today, right? It could be just trying to simply like leave an impact. Because like, you know, I tell everybody this, if one person listens to the podcast, even this episode, right? And they're like, you know, this helped me realize that I'm not alone. This helped me realize that everybody struggles with this. So this is common. That's a huge win, right? And that's what I want to do here. You know, I just want to help somebody that is struggling because I've been there. You know, I've been that person that had body image issues, that had body dysmorphia. You know, that person that was teased and made fun of and didn't have any confidence. You know, and like it's a challenging place to be in. You feel like the world's against you. So what I want to try to do is just instill some hope. That's it.
Yeah, and what a wonderful thing to say. That must leave you pretty fulfilled. That mission, just saying that mission statement alone, you know?
And yeah.
That makes me want to ask a question of what is fulfillment to you?
Oh, fulfillment.
What does it look like to you? What is it? And again, let's open it up and think, because like, I've been thinking about it for the last 48 hours really intensely and being like, can I definitively say at this point, this is what it looks like? Is it a feeling? Is it a destination? Or is it the entire gamut of all of it and the constant fulfillment? To me, all I could come with is it's the carrot dangling of what my brain and thoughts have perceived as happiness and a destination. And I don't know if that's a great take on it, you know?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this. So I think, first of all, it's important to differentiate because you mentioned happiness. And I think for me, again, this is all so subjective, right?
Yeah, of course.
Happiness is one of those things that I view as a very fleeting and temporary metric.
Big time.
I think happiness could be one of those things that's heavily influenced by external things. It could be influenced by drugs, by alcohol, by food, by something that you watch, something that happens in your life. And I'm not saying that happiness is a bad thing, but I do think that happiness isn't the goal.
Yeah.
The target. I think peace is.
Yeah.
And to give context on what I mean with this is peace is something that you feel. Peace is something that you, when you think about it, it just allows you to feel very blissful, very joyful, very calm, right? And I think that that's something that should be strived for more so than happiness, because happiness is something that could be indicative of something that you watch or consume. But if you're if you're choosing peace, then you're choosing to just be in a peaceful state of mind, which I think there's a lot to kind of tie in with that. But to kind of segue that into the question you initially asked, I think peace and fulfillment go hand in hand. I think Absolutely. To be fulfilled, you have to be at peace. And I think to be at peace, you have to choose peace.
That, absolutely that. I think as well, every year of my life, that I could have probably answered it differently of what that looked to. And I was thinking of an example where I felt the most or perceived to feel that most. I know when I go back into my memories, they're not exactly accurate, like a pretty good idea, but like, you know, it changed. Our brains are incredible. And I thought came to mind of, I've never been a napper, but I've taken these naps sometimes out of nowhere. And I either will wake up into absolute disarray and panic and mental health. And oh my gosh, like what have I done? I'm so lazy. And I've got inner conflict. But I've also had a handful of times where it has been serene. And an example of that is my first tour was in 2003, and then the first real contract we signed with Universal Records was in it on the TV show. It looked like we signed on the spot in May, but that's just not what happened. We're not that silly. Like, we were silly guys, but we weren't that silly. Like, we did it with a lawyer in February, but you know how reality TV is. And I went home that day, and I had a nap that I think about all the time, and it was like this weight lifted from my body, and I felt like at that point I was 22 or 23. Mm-hmm. Like everything had been leading to that moment. I had never felt so much relief in my life. I remember laying in my house, and at the time we were living in Scarborough, Ontario, and it was divine. And I've felt it a couple other times too, but then I struggle with this because that's an external circumstance providing something in me. So I have to look deeper. What did that elicit in me that caused me to have this sense of relief? I almost want to say too. And how I'm the life I have right now is the most fulfilled I've ever been as a human being. And what I had originally perceived as to be most possible as a child, you know, married, kids, yeah. In the town I'm from in Canada. And like, I did everything in my life to escape this. It's the best.
But that just kind of like ties in how fulfillment is an internal state of mind, and how fulfillment is such an intrinsically driven thing. Because like you know, like you said, you're living back where you were living before, and like you might have looked at your life now at a time back then, and you'd have thought there would be no way Rob would be fulfilled now, but you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, when Stereos happened, I knew that my life would never be the same, even though it's many years after, and we, you know, like mentioned, I'm very grateful for that experience. It has opened doors for me. It's put me a bit in like a typecast character. It also, like, I've been in the fitness industry for longer in a more personal way, but a lot of coaches I've had this conversation with, and it's interesting because it's always like, oh, what was that like? And I almost, when I was younger and with younger coaches, they were looking at me like, oh, that must have been so great over there. And I'm like, no, what we're doing right now, this is awesome. I'm looking at you this way. I'm looking at you as like, you have an established business, Bryce, that like I strive to get to that level, you know? And it is so subjective what we see that what external factor could elicit that feeling in us to strive to get more. But it's so different person to person that you can almost be like, I love it. You asked me in the back room the other day, and I very few times in my life have nothing to say, but I felt like, oh my God, like, I think I'm so internally fulfilled in all these things. Like, what does that mean? How do I articulate, you know?
Yeah. And there was a moment like the latter part of last year when I was figuring out for myself if I was truly happy. And at that point in time, the question that I asked myself was, if I was stripped of my personal training certificate tomorrow, what would be left? And when I asked myself that, the answer was quite astonishing internally. It was, I don't know. So, and that kind of tied into my sense of fulfillment. Like, I, at that point in time, I just didn't have much to say. And I was so closely and everything and like attached to what I was doing. And that gave me a soul sense of fulfillment and purpose. But within acknowledging that, addressing that, I've been able to give myself fulfillment in other ways. Mm-hmm. And they're way more intrinsically driven, just towards a feeling and towards how something makes me feel, and not just being something that I'm doing. Because something that you're doing, I think, is great. And I think it's great that it gives you fulfillment, but I mm-hmm. think that can't be it.
Well, let's look deeper into maybe a situation of that where, let's say I have, you know, 3-5 clients in a day, and I feel I've done the correct amount of preparation. I'm, you know, really have broken down some walls. We're getting progress. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling independent. The reason that that's important to me is a lot of my success was built with 4 of my best friends, you know, and again, it took all of us to do it. It was great, but it leaves you with that sense of, well, what can I do on my own? Like, what can I actually get done on my own? And you think about it all the time when you're in that dynamic. And when I leave, you know, a good day of training for my company, and I know I've positively impacted people, their there is a sense of what I would absolutely call fulfillment. But what is that actually? Right? Like, what happened inside me? But I know for a fact it's a service to others that elicits, why does that feel better than anything? Why does giving a gift to someone feel better than receiving a gift? Why does you just, why do when we see, like, I follow this one Instagram account that just brings me positive news about, like, you know, progress we've made in human rights, progress we've made in, you know, just as a loving people, like that gives us all this feeling of compassion and kindness that feels better than anything. So it seems to be, and this is, it's silly we're talking about it because it should be obvious, like service to others and kindness and compassion and love creates a sense of fulfillment in me. And those aren't external factors doing it. That's me acting internally in the outside world and creating it there. And I swear I just figured that up on the spot as we're chatting here. But I've tried so hard. I've lived my life selfish. I've lived my life, probably people could argue, a narcissist at some points too. I have no problem admitting these things. It's about what I want to do to them. There's just, as people and as a community and like helping each other and just doing good things for each other from a place of love that we have to do from ourselves first, seems to be what this feeling comes from, of fulfillment, because it's not a destination for me anymore. It's ongoing every day. Am I being the best man I can be? Am I being the best coach I can be? Am I being the best friend, partner, stepdad, father, like everything, man.
And I think it comes down to whether you're more of like a nurturing person or if you aren't, because I think when I look at most coaches that are successful, whatever that means to them, but whenever I see coaches that are fulfilled in what they're doing and they enjoy their job, they enjoy going to work, a lot of them have nurturing traits.
Yeah.
And I think that within that, it's like you mentioned, right? They are finding inner fulfillment via servicing people and helping people change their lives, which I think is, it appears to be selfish, but I think it is selfless.
And what a line, too. And where does one become the other? Right? Because I thought that before, and I'm going in, I'm like, oh my God, my whole day today is just, I get to be, I feel grounded, I feel calm, I feel happy. And I can let that show to my clients. And you know, you've been doing it long too. You know what it's like when it's like someone can come in with a really bad mood and you've had that rapport with them, you have that relationship with them. And like, I know this is from that movie, Pain and Gain, but like personal training, like the personal side of that is so, so important. And I feel I've excelled in that with my interpersonal skills. Again, on the fly with all these like wild celebrities. It's too much. And it's such a unique job. And 15 years ago when I got into it, it was still pretty new. Right? It's still new, but my gosh, has it changed even in just talking to you guys. But at the end of the day, we all get to go home with a service that people are willing to pay money for, which is very important. We all need to. I know every single one of us, especially at the vault, would be like, oh, but that's not why I do it. And that's admirable, and I completely agree. But that's a cool thing that we've established a skill that people are willing to pay money for, and it's to help them, right?
Yeah,
we get to fall asleep every night fulfilled, knowing that that's happening, right? And I'm so grateful for that. And I think I sensed a piece of that when I was imagining what it would look like. I remember I was on a flight to Miami to film. A lot of things in my life changed in Miami. Film a video there. I started thinking, like, I think it was from a place of maybe lack, scarcity, and mint, where I was like, okay, what am I gonna do when this ends? You know, which I, instead of being in the moment, I was planning this essentially. But I had a very unique experience. I don't want to take too time. I can bring it up afterward, but I did.
Oh, fire.
Yeah, sure. So in Stereos, we had been in 2010. We started January of 2010. We left on a tour to the Midwest United States, went across to meet up in Vancouver or Penticton, somewhere in BC, to start a bigger tour. And we were really big in Canada. We, like in the States, we'd play 500 people. And I was just happy that any Americans knew our song. That to me was like, I just romanticized when I was younger. Not so much anymore. Mad love to all my American friends, but you guys get it. But it ended up getting touring across Canada to the Junos in April. So I've already been gone for 4 months. We were nominated for a couple of Junos in Newfoundland that year. It was an awesome time. And when we were out there, that volcano in Iceland went off, and we're Newfoundland sitting like you're closer. There's a spot there where you're closer to Dublin than you are to Thunder Bay, Ontario, and you're in Canada. It's like Newfoundland's out there. There's an extra half an hour time zone I just didn't even know about as a kid. First thing that came to mind was like, how am I going to watch the Oilers at like 12:30? Anyway, so we're out there, and then our next tour started in LA. And again, I was very excited to get going down there, and I wanted to take a week off, so I took a week off to go down and just kind of chill in LA, and then the guys were going to meet us. And in that time, I ended up getting married to someone from LA in Las Vegas. Like, I just on the bucket list, man. You know, you got to get married in Vegas once, right? It's like just a box I checked. Anyway, great person. We stayed friends till this day, and you know, for a Vegas wedding, the odds are low, obviously, but we had a great time together. It was awesome. But living in Los Angeles, she saw me, you know, kind of I'd fly back from Toronto to LA, and I was like, ugh, like having all of my worth based on someone's opinion of me on a billboard or on comments or this, or like if my song is gonna go number one, which isn't even about if people like it anymore. It's about, or back then it was about just all the other moving pieces of the industry. I was playing with exactly what was quote unquote broken inside me. And again, I was burying myself in alcohol, and I was burying myself in like stimulant drugs. And I knew this is gonna end up one way. But, and this is why I believe in whatever you want to call it, higher power, whatever it is to you, I believe in something external, call it the universe, call it love. Let's just call it love. Her friend was in, she knew someone from her past that had been drafted to like the Montreal Expos for baseball, and also was in a band that I really looked up to, and he owned a gym now. And I was like, what? That's like exactly like that's who I am. Like I'm split down the middle with both these things. So I went and checked out this gym called Rise Above Fitness in Huntington Beach, California. And I'll always credit this, and I kind of got a chance to mentor person to sort of apprentice under a gentleman by the name of Brandon Chapati, who is a singer for the band, the kind of Bleeding Through, and owner of Rise Above Fitness. And seeing that, I knew, like I just knew, like this is it. This gives me the feeling that is, I wish I could tell you a better example of it, but it just, I had a complete knowing that my personality, whether it's healer, nurturer, motivator, I like to be consider myself like a leader and not following trends, you know, like that.
Yeah.
It just was a pure knowing, and I saw people striving to. I think the first time I saw growth mindset in my life was in there. I think it was the first time I saw positive mental attitude, which is a huge thing growing up in punk rock and skateboarding. Like, that's a huge thing we talk about, but it's a lot easier to be negative, right? So I'm very grateful for my time in that. I still, that was in 2012, and I still went back and forth a million times. But that was the starting of that sense of like, oh, my service to this person and the collective conversation we have, that's changing something inside me that's allowing me to feel more grounded.
Yeah.
And it's like the chaos started to calm down.
It's yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's almost like an unexplainable yet such a surreal moment in time. But it's hard to explain because I think it's different on the person. The
Yeah.
feeling that they would experience at that point in time would be just so different depending on where they're at. But I get what you're saying though. It's like a bit of an aha moment for you. It's like a, oh,
Big time.
this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then
Yeah.
I just know that. Yeah.
And supposed to be from me, not from my looking at what Hollywood said or what Toronto is, music industry or LA or New York, what expectation, because I truthfully, like, I feel well versed in the subject matter now, and it truly is my family and my wisdom are my foundation I built my life on. And I was opposite of this for a long, long time. And I apologize if I'm losing my point here, but
You're good. You're all good.
And it like it just it if anybody listening to this has wakes up and on a daily basis, and it's that crushing anxiety, it's that fuck this world. Can we swear on here?
Yeah, you're
Yeah.
good.
I always ask that. Yeah. Because on the stereos ones, like, chances are you could end, right? I was like, oh,
Yeah, you're good.
yeah. So, oh my gosh, it's gonna make me lose my points again there. I'm thinking about these old stories I haven't thought about in so long.
You were mentioning if somebody wakes up with anxiety
Oh,
and they
yeah.
say like and they said like they yeah, they just wake up and they're like they don't want to go continue the day. Yeah.
Yeah, and you feel like a victim, and you have every excuse of external things that are happening or things that are happening to you why you can't do that. I want you to know, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I've been that. Don't wake up every day trying to solve the secrets of the universe and the world's problems. I wake up like that too. And when I was younger, I thought everyone in the world was trying to tell me, oh, positivity, hard work. And I was a contrarian, and I literally caught my nose to my face. I'd be like, no, I'll do it with negativity. My point being that you are here. Like, my take on my experience of these 30 years I've lived is I'm here to develop into the best person I can possibly be. And we can argue each other's circumstances all day, but we have no that we know have no control to be born into where we're into, but it doesn't give you a right to be to take that trauma out on other people. And I've learned, I've tried it all. I'm not proud of a lot of things I've done, but got the momentum going and come back. And I think just having platforms like this and areas now where we can have this dialogue and this conversation, and I don't want to gender it, but to like with men especially, right? Like you, like. It has truly been incredible to watch how forward things have gotten in the conversations I've heard in friend rooms, compared to where it started. And I've been pretty blessed to be around some pretty amazing people since day one in my Canadian training career. But this is what helped me, and like it, I hope it even helped one person, because I would have really liked to have a couple more like role models that weren't so do work, which I love too, you know what I mean? But just like, like iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
There's more levels to it. Yeah. And not then everybody has a certain way they're gonna respond to, and I truly believe everybody has their right. And we do it as coaches, right? When we're trying to find that emotional attachment, what are you in here for? Oh, I just want to get big. Oh, okay. Well, what? Is it a girl? Is it a wedding? Like, what is it? And you find that, it's like, oh, there it is. And then I think we all deserve that.
Yeah, and just to kind of like add on to your piece there, which I thought was fantastic. I think when, there's going to be lots of times in people's lives that they feel discouraged, they feel a little bit lost, they feel like the whole world's against them, and that they feel like they're not heard or they're not seen, right? And I can speak on that because I've been there. You feel like there's something wrong with you. You feel like you're a burden. Probably best way to put it is you feel like you're a burden. And yeah, first of all, to just kind of tie into what Rob said, you're not alone. But I think it's really important to allow yourself to naturally process and feel those feelings and work through them. I think the big issue, and it's becoming more normalized now, thankfully, but I think a big problem is a lot of people just don't realize that it's okay, and that's very healthy to understand that you can feel upset and that you're allowed to.
Allowed to.
You don't have to deny yourself those emotions. You don't have to deny yourself those feelings because of societal pressure, societal norms, right?
Yeah.
And I think you're allowed to see those things as just something that you're experiencing, not something that defines you. And allow yourself to naturally kind of work through and process it. Because once you're able to do that, it gives it less power.
You said something so profound to me 72 hours ago that you probably didn't realize you did. And I remember when we were chatting, I was like, man, we're both doing this push-up challenge right now. Still way on the way. I've already got my day done today.
What?
But I was
Okay.
like, maybe 2 nights ago, I was like, and I know myself that I right now in my own way, I have my first child being born in the summer. So I'm doing everything I can to become what I quote unquote believe the best man to be until then. And one of it is discipline for me and consistency and commitment. And this push-up challenge, and I get a certain amount of steps in per day too. And it's freezing here right now, right? So I'm just
Yeah, it's
putting
cold.
myself through this because I know you've said two things to me that really, really struck me. First of all, you've said many things that have struck me, but these two stand out. And one was what you told me when you were learning how to play guitar, you were working on that delayed gratification. And that just bounced around. And I know when something bounces around like that, there's a reason it's bouncing around. So I was like, okay, well, oh God, I haven't done my 30,000 steps or whatever. Like I can get it. It's freezing. I'm like, but I know now, I've had enough experience now and enough doing it the wrong way that on the other side of that 30,000 is a feeling that's going to lead to something else. And I'm not doing it to get to that feeling anymore, but I just know persistency and that delayed, not dopamine chasing is going to be huge. Now, that thing I was going to tell you, I was like, dude, you told me something and I can't remember what it was, but I wanted to text you and give you that compliment. What that was when that uncomfortable feeling comes, and this was even when I started my growth journey, I thought it was, no, it's not real. I'm going to be positive, positive, positive. And that to me isn't right either. You can't just feel that one thing all the time, right? But you told me, why don't you have a beer with that feeling? You know, sit down, have a coffee with that feeling. And man, I have used that 3 times because I believe myself to be in the phase of application of this wisdom now. That will be one that stays with me for my eternity now. And I can't thank you enough for that. But when you feel like I have financial blocks towards, or sorry, I have a mental block somewhere in how I used to view finances. And anytime I felt like I got a big payment from a client or I had some bills to pay, I would feel this rise of cortisol. And I think the majority of us probably feel that with our relationship to money.
Oh yeah.
But what I'm trying to do in these last, couple of days here since you said that, as I sit, I'm like, oh, okay, well, this feeling isn't going to kill me, or it would have already many times over and over. But I sit here, I literally saw like a cheers, man, like a cheers with a beer and this like anthropomorphic character I created for this feeling, and holy shit, it just like depressurizes it. It's crazy. It's like that pressure inside just went, and an understanding. So when it came up again, I'm like, oh, let's go for another beer, bro. Like, we have a good time. This is my friend. And oh man, that alone will keep me coming back day after day, no matter what I've gone through. And talking to people that have been through what people might perceive as even more traumatic events, that seems to be the thing. It's like, this too shall pass, and I didn't know that when I was a kid. I'm not going to blame anybody for my upbringing, but like everything that happened, I thought happened to me, and I thought it wasn't my fault, and I blamed everybody else but myself. And I knew I was a lover on the inside. I knew I loved people, and I just couldn't. I just felt caged in this like thing.
Yeah.
And I assume the majority of people that will be watching and listen to us talk are going to be from fitness community and coaches too, or have worked with coaches. And I think that's probably a very common thing with all of us, is what leads our massive strength to be like lovers and help people and to be like leaders in the fitness community also comes at a cost. And it comes at the cost of being open to hurt like that, right?
Yeah, the first thing I'll say is I think a lot of people, when they're going through stuff, is they feel like their reality will last an eternity.
100%.
And it's just because like time slows down when you're going through stuff, right? It's almost like time freezes and the feelings that you're feeling are amplified. And it's almost this feeling that it feels as if it won't pass, but it will pass. The second thing I wanted to say off that is the thing with the beer. I didn't come up with that. I heard it on a podcast.
Chris and you Williamson. Did say that.
So full disclosure. I heard it on a podcast. Chris Williamson was speaking with somebody on there, and he said that whenever he's going through stuff, he always says that, I wish I could have a beer with that old version of myself.
Yeah.
And like tell myself that it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And like sit down with that old version of you. And it's like, it's the idea of trying to give yourself that reassurance and that the validity that you were seeking in some way, shape, or form, but also that you could see this, because again, if you see it from two different perspectives, you're seeing a future version of yourself as present you. So it's reassuring that it will pass, like you said, and that it will get better, even though in that moment, the reality could feel like a literal eternity, because you just feel as if this feeling is never going to end.
And what if this just came to my mind, what if we looked at it, and this is just like a thought experiment, okay? Like, what if you look at those times? Let's say let's call it in the fire, right? Let's take some Alan Watts stuff here. So he has a quote that says it's about how you walk through the fire. And I remember reading that I think I was early 30s, starting to dip my feet into the water of growth and like still like being like, okay, like let's just see what this is, but still being like, oh, I'm gonna do it from this. Like, I don't need drawing lines in the sand. I just never think that's a good idea. But what if we looked at it in the sense of, is that actually what the good times are? You know, when we're in that fire, even though we can look at it, whatever what causes it could be trauma, it could be like, you know, an abusive situation. And I'm only going to, again, speak to my own experience here. And everybody is completely
No, of
okay to,
course.
yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I respect all trauma and if we don't want to open up that wound 100% going through it. But in those times, as much as the physiological feeling feels awful and like my insides are being pulled out, I seem to do my best work there. I seem to, in the darkness, in the fire, once I'm done, woe is me, which gets faster and faster with repetition. What a surprise. Reps make you stronger.
Yeah.
There seems to be something that I almost got addicted to and created a chaos loop in a sense of this is where the growth happens, you know? And when the downtime comes and maybe I feel fulfillment in that point, I'm not learning anything. Into a little bit of a loop, and I'd love to get your take on this because I struggle back and forth. I have to be really careful with everything I get really into because I'm so addictive. And I think like moderation for everything, including moderation, is the middle way. And what I subscribe to now for my own happiness is when things are so I'm having a great day today, you know, pod today. I'm going to watch Canada US tonight, but I'm kind of just existing, right? Like you and I having a great discourse, like or a great conversation about things
Yeah.
that I'm very passionate about, and I'll leave fulfilled from that. But what am I going to learn after this? And am I here to always be growing? Am I here to then take the applications and then do it there? And then I found myself when things were smooth sailing and down, I was almost like, I don't know if this is good. And then I'm like, well, what is good? And you start spinning and it's like, oh my gosh, you know? So the view of when these times come up, if you can sit through that initial, whatever that pain, cortisol, awful, awful feeling is, there's some wisdom in there. And
Yeah.
it's like 9 times out of 10, man, it's just not what I thought it was going to be. And I've built a mountain, or I built like a tiny little hill into a mountain. And there's just so much wisdom in that journey, the hero's journey, if you will.
I have many things to say on it.
Yeah, perfect.
First things first, the one thing I always think about, and I was talking to actually a client about this too, is most mind shifting and life altering things happen when things are spontaneous. And what I mean by that is things that happen very abruptly are often the ones that leave the most impact on our lives, whether that impact is good or bad. But I think the impact is always good when you think about it in that sense, right? Even if in the moment it's earth shattering, it's changing our perspective on things or outlook on things, it's still going to be making you a better person. But I like the analogy that you use there about walking through the fire, because I always think about this now, especially when I'm going through stuff, is think about, you know, when you're in a thunderstorm, right? Think about how the grass smells after.
Oh, I have that tattooed on me.
Weird. That's weird.
It's yeah, well, it's God, it's a band that got canceled, first of all, so don't come at me, everyone. But it was
I'm saying not weird in the sense that it's a weird tattoo. I'm saying weird that it's a very, yeah,
I'm
it's a
synchronistic. It's
coincidence. Yes.
so it, this has been happening like just unbelievably lately.
So I think about just
It's not
in the
cool.
moment. I think about in the moment, you know, like you're like there's rain, it's pouring, you know, there's likely trees getting ripped out of the ground. It's whatever, right? And you think, well, this passed, what's gonna happen? But then once it's done, it's that smell of rain, it's that smell of things growing, things blooming. The sun comes out again, right? And you're like, it's peace. It's like this like blissful, like calm state where you're like, okay, well, the storm has now passed, literally, and now the water is still and the sun's out again and the grass smells differently.
And could that exist without that storm?
No.
And that is so, that was so hard for me to accept back in the day.
Yeah.
So hard for me. Because look at I'm looking out a window here into some back, like Edmonton has the coolest back alleys. I've never seen anything like it, but there's the back alley of the Edmonton House is just like I'm obsessed with it. And I've seen people write, this is so random, write stories about how our back alleys are just this beautiful thing we have here. So I'm looking into that. I see blue sky, I see chimneys and that, and it's a beautiful day and there's snow on there. But somebody else could look out there, right? And this is getting into perspective in their own paradigm and be like, oh, it's freezing cold. It's this. And it's not wrong or right, but the way we look at it is different and we can't have one without the other. And I honestly think I'll be trying to understand this, I think, for the rest of my life. And even the thought of that is exciting to me. But you can't have the sweet without the sour. And that's such a basic, like vanilla kind of line, but it's so true in the sense of duality and like the way the poles work, right? It's like, when does a day become good to me? At what point have I decided it's a good day? Or is it a day? Or is it a bad day? And it's like, all of this is self-defined. So if I'm self-defining it, I can define it however I want it to be, right? Again, though, everything that we're shown in society, and I made a couple notes here. So if you see me glancing off to the side, I'm just getting kind of caught up to my point.
All good.
Is our society shows it like, okay, going back to fulfillment here, what would you say are, let's say, four things that the current, if we are only getting our information from TV, entertainment, pop culture, all that, like that define fulfillment? So money for sure, like wealth would be one. I would
Status.
argue that, yeah, your social status, 100%. Probably like aesthetic body,
Yeah.
aesthetic based health.
Would you say that
Or
image
you
and
could,
status are the same?
maybe not actually, because I know some people that are pretty high status that, well, I don't know them, but we know of some people, they're high status in this world. They probably don't love their aesthetic.
Yeah, so maybe I would say images in there because like
And, yeah.
I would say just how somebody how 'cause I think status is well, I guess it's just different. They're both so subjective, but I feel like status and image kind of go hand in hand because it's all based off of how somebody perceives you. Yes?
Yeah. So let's look at those four external things then, okay? So we said wealth, right?
Yep.
So what wealth is gonna money is tough, man, because like it's like you loved it, you chased it, or you thought people with money are evil, and it's just it's money, man. It's money. Money can give you freedom. I hate to say it, but it truly is. In the system that we're in right now, money can give you a life of freedom if you can't create that without on your own, which is, I could argue, both sides till the sun comes up. But
I
what's
agree.
that sense there? That's a sense of safety, right? That's the real. So let's take wealth and change that to safety. Makes sense. Look at everything around us, okay? Like look at trees, look at like, oh, I don't have any cats in here right now, but there's four cats outside this door that are trying to get in right now. Like that's all the safety that these organisms are going to look for, right? So then let's look at the aesthetic
Status,
side of it. Yeah, and the
status, yeah.
status. So okay, if we look in the animal kingdom, yeah, there's like groups of animals that do things a certain way, but what are we trying to do with that as humans? We're trying to feel accepted, I think. And does that then go back to love, right? And does that then filling a void of if we didn't feel loved enough as, in those developmental years as a kid or things we saw? So we can trace that back to another intrinsic feeling of love. So we have safety, we have love, which seems like basic human necessities on the inside. And you could probably do that. Recognition is a note I had written down too, and that's one that I chased over. I argue that I still probably do this to my own demise sometimes too.
Yeah.
Is this recognition? And in my 20s, that's what I was known for. I was recognized as playing a successful whole. Everything was built off that. So in that left, just like you messaged with your, or you mentioned with your certificate, if that was a thing, like what, like I had to live it. Like what am I now? And I watch it with my other friends that are like my friends that are in the band with me. We've all struggled with this. Like, what's our identity post boy band that was done by the time I was 26? It's like one
Yeah.
quarter of my life.
I think recognition
Isn't that a
ties
fun
into,
experiment?
I think recognition before we move on to the next two, because I even have
Yeah,
another
of
two.
course.
I think
Yeah.
recognition ties into status. Yes. I think recognition would
Yep.
tie into how somebody is perceiving you, but I think you mentioned it earlier, and explained it exceptionally well, where I think it ties into love. I think it ties into how little you love yourself. and how you are seeking that recognition because you're unable to recognize your own strengths and skills in yourself.
Yeah, which it's interesting. And I don't think anybody is truly out there as like, oh, maybe I won't go down that route. Like, the way I view people, if I'm feeling friction with someone and I can take a second to find awareness and realize, okay, I'm having a very egoic reaction right now. And the ego is like, the ego could be, it's a weapon. There's a reason we have it. You know what I mean? It's not like something like you hear ego death and all those kind of things. I'm like, yeah, sure. In a world of hallucinogenics, like achieving ego death, sure, there's benefits to that. But I think we put too much stock in like death of the ego, kill the ego, kill the ego. It's like, no, the ego can be weaponized in a good way, you know, like not. It's kind of a bad word for it, but you can use it. It's like incorporating, like in a Carl Jung sense, the shadow, right?
Yeah,
for sure. I view it like this. We are either, I look at a sandbox. So as kids are so interesting, man. They're like, they don't have any like perception. The world is magical to them. Like magic happens to that. These, when you're born, you're just like, oh my God, the clouds? What? And you're thinking about clouds all day. And like, you can do that. Like, what is this? Like, this is crazy. The sky is blue, you know? Like, it's just, yes, we have like scientific reasons for all that, but it's wild. And it's that sense of wonder as a kid. So I try to think like, okay, we are kids in a sandbox trying to like on the playground or recess, get along with each other. And you either go longer in life, accumulating more experience that puts you in the corner, which I argue that probably a lot of us are doing. And I think we're trying to come back from that right now after what we went through in 2020 as a planet, trying to find it again, because we're not, these material things aren't satisfying us, right? There's such an interest in inner growth right now. And there always has been. And a lot of the books we read now is regurgitated information put with a 2025 spin on it from, you know, the turn of the century or way beyond that. Oh, get me going on this. I'll go all day. I could think about it. And I like, it's so interesting the way that humans kind of interact with each other and the ones that feel, or we would perceive to be fulfilled, how they go about their days from their established base and their cup full to then fill, as opposed to when I haven't felt that, how I've treated people has been awful, awful. By my standards. And it's, when we just looked at those things that society defines success by or fulfillment by, it comes back to an inner emotion that is very elementary in our growth, which is like elementary in the sense of the time we learn it, but like love, compassion for your neighbor, love for your neighbor, love for yourself above all. Without love for yourself, you then can go love someone. And before we started this, we were chatting and I hope it's okay. I bring this up. I'll bring it up with myself first.
Yeah.
That I've been told by people that are close to me, in whether it was a romantic setting or a platonic friendship setting, that, you know, like there's times where I've had to hear, like, you got to love yourself first because you just don't know how to give and receive love. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I cry when a certain character dies in movies. I'm the biggest lover. Like, oh, I think about my cat 24/7. But my self-talk at that point was like, cool, Rob. Like, even though a client would be like, incredible workout today, unbelievable job, I'd be like, oh my God. And I'd sit in bed and I'd stare, you know, and that's why I drank. And I'd be like coming down and I'd be like, oh, but I also said this and that means that, and maybe I'm bad and I'm an imposter here.
The inner dialogue is such an interesting talking point. And like, I have a client of mine who he's working with a mindset coach, and he used this cool analogy where he was saying, if your inner thoughts were projected onto a speaker, would you want to hear what that speaker is projecting?
Do you think there's anyone in this world that would say yes to that?
No.
I thought of it for a second. I was like, fuck no. Even at a place of now where I feel like I've made some personal growth and I can, to me, it's a daily battle. There's a band I like that has an album called The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me. And it spoke to me, that name. And whether you want to call it dark, light, positive, negative, who cares? Show with me.
It's resonation.
It's resonation. And yeah, it can go deep. And this, our line of work and our colleagues in this too, it can really help growth in that area, or without the right understanding of it, it can lead down places, which is something I have experienced both from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's such an interesting talking point, right? And like, I feel like with all of this too, it's all so dictated off of perspective.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the inner piece to all of this stuff is perspective, you know. And it was even like the other day when you and I were talking a little bit back and forth, and we had that talking point about, you know, it's only a shit day if you allow it to be a shit day, or if you like, yeah, or if you like choose for it to be a shit day. And it's like, it's no different than what you're just saying there too. Like, you look into out the window and you see the sun shining, you see blue skies, right? But if somebody's perspective was, oh, it's minus 20 outside, it's so snowy, oh man, I wish it wasn't winter, I wish it was summer. And then all of a sudden they get into this whole, oh, you know, the days are really short, I can't do anything in the wintertime. Yeah. And then it kind of, it's all just based off of that like initial thought loop. It's like the initial, how are you viewing something in front of you? How are you choosing to see it? But that's all perspective based, you know?
Yeah. And that, like, there seems to be, and like, for anybody listening, maybe we can give some tips here, like for what's worked for us. Like, there seems to be, when I first wake up in the morning, about 3 minutes, and I'm getting this from, again, the readings I've done, and it's my favorite subject to read about, is, you know, I've been trying to create the greatest possible optimal morning routine based off what people have done in the field already, like Andrew Huberman kind of started it off with that. And I felt, and again, whatever your thoughts are on that guy, I respect it, you know. Mm-hmm. For me, at one point he was a skateboarder, and that resonated with me, right? So it worked for me. So in trying to develop that, there's this 3 minute window where I can choose. And I've noticed after repetition and repetition, when I wake up, it's calm. There's a almost, I don't even know my name there. And I think they call it the hypnagogic state. And I can then, and most of us, I think, do our person. It's like interpersonality. Okay. Oh shit. I got to pay this bill. Oh, six clients today. Ooh, that program is not done, right? And now I'm starting my day from the hypnagogic state. And we know now, like, this isn't pseudoscience now, that subconscious is, our subconsciouses, which pretty much are like the driving factor of our decision-making processes, is most malleable at that time. And like, kind of that same state of like hypnosis and power of suggestion and all that, right? So if I'm looking at that, and I've had enough examples of this, started a loop, then my partner wakes up, I'm already in a negative loop, and I'm seeing negativity everywhere. I don't want to do that, but it's happening, and I've allowed it to happen. Then I'm driving, and it just seems to be this cascading amount of things. All I'm noticing now, based off that initial start to my day, was I got cut off. Oh my god, why didn't I look for a left turn? Or like, I see someone on strike, and I'm like, either for the strike, against the strike. I mean, hard to imagine not being for the strike and some seeing me, or little things like that. And then it leads into not good sessions or not good conversations. And at any point, I believe you can turn it around. Now let's flip that coin. In that moment, we've shared our routines. Now what I'll try to do is like, oh yeah, those are things. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. That won't work for me. And I go very like visual with it, where I literally take out, I'm going to date myself here, the CD-ROM of negativity and put the CD-ROM of positivity in me. Now, I don't mean toxic positivity. I mean, like, I will be here at the end of the day. It's not going to kill me. And how do I want to be here?
Yes.
Well, I want to be here fulfilled. And what does that look like? Well, I know, I have an idea that it will be, and this could be something as basic as when I complete my steps after a good day at work. Oh boy. Like the thoughts, and it's like I could lead an army at that point, you know?
Yeah.
And we all have that. Like, I'm telling you, I was like, I thought it was cool. Like, I legit thought I was the coolest guy in the world, because I would be like, the world's so shitty, and then still go and do like, quote unquote, like success, you know? Yeah. But what am I doing? I'm swallowing poison and expecting my enemies to die when I do that kind of thing. And our job, and again, our vocation, colleagues, like, this is what I see over how we are. Like, when you go into a session, I know you've seen examples of this, as like, you're exuberant, you're over, like, your client matches your energy.
100%.
They will. And I, but when I was first starting and very rookie at it, I would match their energy if they were on a low and down. And I could argue both sides again, but they can sense it, right? And if they can sense that Bryce is happy and awesome today, like, that, where's the negative? Like, how can that possibly not lead into other awesome things?
Yeah.
You know?
I have a lot to say within this.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep going.
The general theme of the day. To further extend our talk earlier about having a beer with yourself, what about the idea of having coffee with yourself in the morning?
Yeah. And that, okay, so we've done a lot of consults talking to people about, okay, well, one of my favorite questions from one of the first consult books I'd ever worked through for a big box gym said, well, let's talk about what you think are going to be the greatest areas of biggest obstacles to your success, right? So we hear time, money, family things, right?
Yeah.
Well, I, for the first time ever, I have an 8-year-old stepson, and I'm not used to waking up, and I am now, but like majority of my life, I woke up, I can do whatever the hell I want, you know? And like, if I want to roll about at 11 o'clock, which I do not do, go get a Slurpee and go walk, like freaking watch 10 rounds of Sports Center, I could have done that. I don't have that anymore, but what I do have is responsibilities, right? Mm-hmm. And in those responsibilities, like, I just know there's a place I can do them from productivity, and I've felt the place I can do them from a bad attitude. So giving yourself, like, my thing is this: how many tools can I give myself to achieve the next day to the way I want to? And, you know, 5 out of 7 days I can hit that now. It used to be 0 out of 7, the majority of them. But if that means that extra half an hour in the morning to let the storm pass, because I know my bullshit, and I know what my brain can try to do. And I've been talking to others who also experience this when that passes. Or if it doesn't happen, I can find that calmness. I can set the tone for my day. And that can be even when my eyes just open. I have almost like mental coffee with myself, setting my brain. And that, what that looks like is usually just empty. Just empty.
For sure. And
breathing.
For sure.
And you've said really cool things on breathing. I'd love you to jump in and talk about that here, Matt.
Yeah. So a couple things I want to kind of put into the note first is, for the first thing is we choose our own suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And to give context to that, we choose our own suffering via these stories we tell ourselves. And these stories that we tell ourselves are driven off of how we remember and how we perceive situations that have happened in our lives. But within this, we create our own suffering. And you see it all the time, right? People will identify with something that happened many, many years ago. So to kind of further on with this whole talking point, are you familiar with the belief loop cycle?
Yeah.
So for me, when I didn't know about this stuff really until probably like the latter part of last year. But it really ties into like what we're talking about today, about how like the initial thought that you have can trickle into the beliefs that you actually entail in yourself. And it just gets reinforced, right? So if you have that initial thought, like you mentioned before, if you wake up and your initial instinct when you wake up in the morning is, man, I have so many things to do, I don't have time for all of this stuff, right? That initial thought trickles into the belief of, okay, well, there's not enough time in the day. That belief goes into the thoughts of, man, there's not enough time to do any of this stuff. Can I even do this? Am I capable? Right?
Yeah.
That goes into the feelings. The feelings are like, you know, you feel sad. You feel like you're not worthy. You're not capable, that you can't do these things. As you start to question your own worth, right? That goes into your actions. Maybe your actions are doing nothing because you feel like you don't have enough time in the day. And then it's all reinforced by the results, right? You then do nothing, and then you realize, okay, well, nothing happened. So it's just proof that I can't do it. But like you mentioned, if you are conscious enough to catch that in the moment and be like, hey, you know what? This is just a negative thought that I've woken up with. This doesn't define my day. This is just a thought that I have currently right now. Let's sidebar this thing. You know, this is a thing that I'm still feeling, but let's choose a alternative thought loop.
Yeah. Okay?
Maybe instead of thinking that I don't have enough time, look at your calendar. Okay, let's look at this from a solely logical standpoint. Do I have enough time, or have I scheduled my day poorly?
Mm-hmm.
or am I trying to do too much today?
Yeah.
There's multiple thought processes to kind of go along that subject, but it's just like, am I looking at my day as I don't have enough time? Because I can speak on this myself too, because I used to wake up the same way in like this panicky, anxious state of mind. I'd wake up and I'd be like, oh my God, I have to do so many things today. I would immediately resort to texting, answering, replying to clients, you know, looking at social media, and you immediately get into workflow and you've been up for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You haven't had enough time to actually be present, have coffee with yourself, you know, think about your day, think about how you want to actually like put yourself out there. And it was brought to my attention that I do that. So then within that, thankfully that was brought to my attention, I changed my routine in the morning, right? I took some time where I'm actually able to focus on, like you mentioned, breathing. So I'll kind of talk about that in a second here too. But like developing a morning routine, having my mornings be structured, and allowing myself to focus on myself first before I focus on everybody else, if that makes sense. And then one thing that I like to do for breathing, and I think it's one thing that people can just practice in general, is the breath itself is actually quite an incredible thing. And we've talked about it heavily, just you and I. But I think it's something that people need to utilize more because it's a great way to calm your nervous system, your muscular system. It's a great way to get yourself out of a fight or flight position into a more calm and regulated state of mind too. Especially if you're in a fight with somebody, like you're having a fight with your partner, you're having a fight with a colleague. You catch yourself getting heated over things that maybe normally wouldn't bother you. It's very, very brief, but all you have to do is really focus on your inhale and the depth of your exhale.
Ain't that the truth?
And just focusing on, okay, taking air in, feeling your chest expand, feeling your whole body expand. And then on the exhale, feeling yourself in a sense, let go of everything that you're holding on to. And it's kind of crazy because, you know, I thought when I first heard this stuff too, I didn't really believe in it. You know, I didn't believe in the power that it could have until you actually apply it. And then you realize the power and the impact that it can actually have.
And that I hit a lot of resistance. First of all, incredible words. I hit a lot of resistance and confusion when I had started down this growth path and uncovering kind of like the wisdom that I really build my life on, of taking in all this wisdom. And even that feeling I was getting, I felt the same that I guess the addiction, the little like, I heard a comedian call it this little like addiction shrimp in their brain, and it resonated with me. So I'll use that verbiage. Like the little addiction shrimp in me was like, oh, this is the new thing that we're going to like just go at all the time until we bleed that dry. And I'm aware of this. I know this part of myself. So I would take little step backs, and I love reading. Reading makes me feel, whether it's audiobook or, and I believe in the power of actually reading the book. And if the audiobooks works for you, I was like arguing with my partner the other day, and she's like, the science shows us that audio does it just as much. And I was like, hell yeah, I trust you. Whatever you want. Whatever works for you, I'm into. You can write it on chalkboard, whatever you want to do. Chalkboard. Wow, it dated myself again.
yeah, but, that's okay though.
Yeah. Okay, and to make, it just slipped me. There's a bird flying outside my window just going wild right now. What was the last thing you had just said? You had just mentioned right after breathing, power breath.
The impact it can have on us?
The impact, yeah. There's a reason I brought it up. One of the biggest things for me in the application part of things is we can talk about this all day. And again, if somebody listened to it and be like, oh, that's a cool take that I think might help me, you don't have to act on it. That doesn't have to have initial action. Let it sit. You'll know when it's time. I believe our bodies are, they're here to help us, man. They're here to help us, you know? We'll know when it's that time. But one of my favorite books of all time that I believe everyone can find you when it finds you, it just says about this application, paraphrase, this is just words, words, words. You know, these are just, they're simply words. It's the application in the school of life where, you know, in we were both Nate guys, right? We had our lectures and we had our labs. And those labs are where we apply knowledge. And I think this world's like all the knowledge is there. All the knowledge is here. Like another one of my favorite quotes, and again, my thing, if you like it or not, hell yeah, I just think it's cool and like to share it with you, is Dr. Joseph Campbell. I think I was watching, and how it came to me is so interesting because I really identified with like when I was lost and really in the grips of alcohol and drugs, but still kind of like quote unquote a successful trainer, like running a whole department somehow through addiction. I watched a lot of Navy SEAL based stuff because I think I was just like trying to be like, okay, that to me is top pinnacle. I'd only done surface level, and I still have my war guy. What they've done for human performance, which is a passion of mine, is Jocko, David Goggins, Marcus Luttrell, who's Lone Survivor. I really liked that. In that movie, 13 Hours, about Benghazi, just strictly for entertainment. One of the soldiers is reading a book, and it was Joseph Campbell before I knew about Joseph Campbell, Dr. Joseph Campbell. And it says, you know, all of the gods, heavens, devils, and so I think the artist in me was like, oh, what a cool thing to say. And I just made it my phone back before I even thought about it, you know? And it resonated with me, but it led me to what then I uncovered with his stories, or I have a book in front of me. It's called The Hero with a Thousand Faces, where we learn about the hero's journey and stuff. And like, the information is all in here. Every single human out there, we all have that information out there. It's what's going to be the catalyst that brings it out, right? Mm-hmm. And then how do you apply it? We're so lucky to have the jobs we have because we are constantly in growth. We're constantly trying to get better. We get to meet people from all ages, life experiences. So our wisdom just continues to grow and grow and grow. And we have a daily way to apply it. But it's that application that is the most important part. Because you can sit and take knowledge, and we all need that phase. And you feel comfortable in it, right? You're safe. You're at home. You're in a library. You're on YouTube. You're taking it in and you're building up. And then where I got stuck was, quote unquote, negative loops and self-fulfilling prophecies. And the old patterns kept showing up. I'm like, but I have this knowledge. Why is it happening now? I'm like, well, I haven't applied anything yet.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's like a great analogy that I want to kind of touch upon a little bit too, is like, and even in the training realm, like we talk about like the personal training realm, there is the idea that I talk about a lot with like other colleagues too, but like, you know, theory is nothing without application.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could know, you could have an understanding of these concepts. You could understand what these things are trying to demonstrate or talk about, but without application, it's kind of moot.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is the idea of, like, again, like you're mentioning, like, application is so important, because as much as this information that we have in our minds is helpful, if we're not able to find a way to apply it into our daily lives, it's hard to talk about and it's hard to kind of conceptualize and understand.
Yeah. And places like this where we can chat about it is where the real progress is made too.
Yeah.
There's so many great podcasts out there and great channels that, like, and you find the one that speaks to you, and if that's the conduit to the information, that's great. Whether, like, and it's funny, like, as I've started to learn certain things in this world and then apply them, as I'm like, you know, my thirst for knowledge and understanding everything, which I never will have a full understanding, because I don't think you can. I heard a thing like, it's like the fingertip trying to touch itself. It just can't be done. Right. But that no matter what, every day is exciting to me now, no matter what's going on, because I have the opportunity, and I've seen it in practice, to not control, not do better, but choose. Like, what's inside of me seems to be what's outside of me really seems to be a reflection of what's inside of me.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Again, this is my take on this. And just something I like to share because I think it's cool. Like, that is how are we not all talking about this 24/7? You know, when we've been made to feel like we are victims of every external possible thing, when it's not true. Free will is free will. Like,
you can have
all these crazy. Now, it's easy for us to sit here on a beautiful Saturday and talk about all these great things. You know, all of a sudden, let's say there's an intruder in my house and I'm in a high cortisol, high stress threat. Am I still able to access this? Fine, over repetition, I have been.
Yeah.
It's constant bearing yourself, which is, look at our job. That's what we do.
Yeah. But that's where the work comes in. Like, mm-hmm. in high stake situations, in high stress, being able to pull from the theory and directly apply it. Like, it's like having all of the tools in the tool belt and knowing what tool is specific for that job.
Exactly. Exactly. I see down the road us, and I not, like, I'm not here to tell you what I think education should be, but I believe that we are, without parents or like mentors in our life, that early years, weren't really showed too much of that. Now, I believe it's getting better. Even just watching the notes that my stepson brings home from school, they're talking about mindfulness and all these things that were like, literally, like, I went to school. I had some demons too. And it was, and no blame. They grew up in a different time, right? Like, our parents came in a different time, and like, they were the children of like the war generation. And it's, I get it, man. It's just this different perspective. Like, I tell my son, like, I was an 8-year-old, man, like you, but I wasn't an 8-year-old in 2025. I was an 8-year-old in 1996. So, like, I can relate to you, but like, come on, I don't know what you're going through, but I can listen to you, man, and talk to you. I can tell you, like, they're like, not that it gets better, but like, there's, you get to decide. Like, you truly get to decide at the end of the day how, what's happening. And I just, I wish I could, the piece of me wants to be a total hypocrite and go to shout this off the mountaintops for everybody. But a piece of me knows that we all have to do our own work to get there. And, you know, you can lead people down a certain way, or talk about, recommend books. Book recommendations are huge, you know, like, and it's just, it just, the ability to have conversations like this is what needs to happen. And we have many polarizing figures in our industry, and I don't want to use like buzzwords like awakening of to the quantum level and stuff like that. But there's something happening right now with people that we're starting to realize that it's not divided, it's togetherness that matters. It's what we can do together in this shared wisdom and shared wealth, instead of compartmentalizing it, is how we're going to move forward as people and as a species and as, like, there's no limit, man. There's no limit. There's constant growth out there. And then there's, you wake up bored on a Saturday, and we live in a culture where we have the privilege, or like, life isn't as hard over here for some people as it can be. And like, when it's perspective, it's for a lot of people.
You
can do it. You can go. Knowledge is there. You have to take that first step. And how do you take that first step? You know, and I'm still trying to refine what that looks like. I've been the person watching this before, being like, I agree with everything you guys are saying. I want this more than anything. I feel like I'm going to die if I don't change or like work on growth. I'm going to take that first step. And that's something maybe we could speak about, because it's, I've been playing with it a lot in my head. Like, what led me to it? What got me? It came in a very aggressive situation, and people I loved and respected being like, hey, here's some tough love, you know. And that tough love is, I'm not saying that's the way to go, but it just seemed to be what worked for me after it. So in your experience, what, like, how have you started the ball rolling?
I think the first key step to any major shift is a brutal amount of acceptance and acknowledgement. To the point where you fully acknowledge and embrace the things that you need to work on. Because if you're still in a bit of a state of denial, it's likely you're not in a place where you're ready to receive what life is trying to teach you, but also what needs to change. So I think, even speaking from solely experience on my end, I had to be in a state of mind where I was very honest with myself, and I knew, maybe not what needed to be changed, but I knew that things needed to be changed. And that got me on the path of trying to figure stuff out. And I think you kind of put it into a beautiful sense too, where there is never going to be a state or a time where you fully feel like you are where you want to be. But that's kind of where the beauty lies, is you are always striving to be moving forward, to be better. But I think a lot of people look for an outcome. Like, they look to be at a place where they're like, oh, I'm healed, or they try to find a place where they're like, oh, I'm the person that I want to be. But I think it's a bit of a skewed way of looking at it. Like, we're never where we want to be in a totally methodical standpoint, are we?
Yeah. Well, I had pictured, for some reason, it was award shows that when I would go like grab a hockey stick and pretend it was a guitar in my room, which I legit did every day until I was like from like 10 to like 17. I practiced everything every day. And I felt like it was crazy.
Yeah.
Every move. But for some reason, the metric I used was my friends flipping through TV and seeing me playing on, like, when people flip through TV channels and seeing me play on like the MTV Awards or like the Grammys, or like, it was definitely American in my head, not like much music, and grateful for all of it, and Junos and stuff. It was like, that's kind of, it's so pushed down my throat, right? I got it. I did exactly that, and I was drunk the entire time. And if, hey, if that's what you do, I have zero judgment on any in this. Man, I know this. I know this beast of addiction. And it wasn't what I thought it would be. So anytime we set that goal and we get married to that emotional outcome, it, you're setting yourself up for failure, because it's just not that. You can use it as a tool, right? Use it as a tool to take those steps. And that's what fulfillment is to me, to tie it in again, is it's not a destination. And people say it about success. It is that constant every day. Can I win the morning? Oh, I won the morning. Sick. I feel fulfilled from that. This sense of, it's this grounding love for others that just, that just like explodes out of me when I do that. Well, what can I do to get that again? What can I do to get it again? Oh, I'm not going to have it every day, but I know I'm not supposed to have that every day. Yeah. I know I've sat and I'll be learning about myself and other people in the world until the day I die. But what can I take? What can I pass along? What's my job? What am I doing here? And it's like, another book, like Non-Search for Meaning, obviously it really gets into a lot of great things about too. And it just reading these things or having us talk about them and being somebody hearing about it, it's like, oh my god, I'm not, you mean I wake up and I actually can like have all these things push me? It's like, oh my god, I can tackle these things. Yeah. And I've met people that it's just not a thing for, and they are just so good in that world, and there's no emotional reaction to it, and they just, oh my god, you know, my family is falling apart, but I still have the absolute presence of mind to get this done, get that done, get that done. Always been, I hate to use this word, but I was envious of it every time I came across it. And I'm like, what's missing, or what have I blocked in me that doesn't that? But any decision you can make that leads to just the tiniest bits of self-esteem, literally, if you have nothing, I've made it. Like, I've had days where the only goal I've had in the world that seemed impossible was to simply wash my face, brush my teeth. That is a win. It's a win. To me, it's not a win to me anymore. Or farther along where I'm going to be, but that doesn't mean I couldn't relapse and be right back there again. But momentum, I say this in the content and I say it over and over again, that momentum and that building is so, so important.
Yeah, the momentum compounds, right? And I think this ties in nicely. I kept this this thing from the somatic breathing thing that I did. I'll show you a picture for people that are like watching. It says, I trust the journey and embrace uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
That's awesome.
And I kept it because to me, right, like I've always been so outcome focused. And I've been so focused on the trajectory of where I want to be, right? I've visualized where I want to be in a certain amount of time. And I have to think about like, are these things in alignment with where I want to be? And, you know, thinking about like this far fetched outcome, which is great. I think it's important to have a goal and a idea of like a North Star that kind of guides you where you want to go.
Yeah, but I agree.
I think the beauty does truly lie in the journey. And that's what I'm trying to realize now. That's something that I'm really grasping now as I'm kind of working through my own journey and process too, is, no pun intended, the journey is where the beauty lies. It's where you're learning more about yourself. It's where you're experiencing hardship, you know, like we mentioned earlier in this podcast, you're having those thunderstorms, but you're having those beautiful smell of the rain, the sun shining after. And without the shitty times in life, the times where you feel like life is not going the way you want it to go, and you wonder if it's going to be like that forever, without that, the successes and the highlights wouldn't be as special as they are if we were,
absolutely,
you know, if we didn't experience that, if life was all highs, it would just be this constant level of complacency, I would say, and this constant state of stagnation, because we wouldn't be really having the lows to really amplify the highs and the lows to also tell us what we need to work on to actually be able to kind of rest at a higher point, if that makes sense too.
And lows and highs. And this just popped into my brain. My I viewed my low to be an absolute outcome of my high. And I was like, what? Like, this is the goal. Like, I achieved the goal. Why is the high producing the low? And that turned a mental pretzel on me. And it put me in a dark place for a long time.
Yeah.
I was a trainer at that time. I had wonderful people around me. Like I have no problem admitting it. The crew I had with me in Edmonton for World Health at Gateway was like those still profound human beings to me. And it was I was led to be at the vault, the group of people we have there now. That's how I felt about that back then. And it's just so incredible who's come into those journeys. But the highs and the lows and the experiencing of it, and you decide what the highs and the low is, but we do. I mean, even I still love my healthy dose of pop culture. I just try not to let it affect my feelings anymore. It's like it tells me a high is a beautiful day when I'm whistling down the street listening to music. I'm telling you, in these last 3 years, that's the highest I've ever felt in my life. Is a sunny day where I'm not in control. Well, maybe that did come out of my subconscious there. That like, maybe that's something that matters to me. Where I'm walking, I feel good. I feel like I'm making a positive impact on my life. I'm being a good man, whatever that means to me. That has felt better to me 1,000% than some of the performances we've had, which I'm really grateful I got to experience that. But it was an external thing creating a feeling in me. And at the end of the day, everything we talk about, whether it's fear of situation, whether it's success chasing, whether, you know, all these growth things, it's really about how it's feeling inside. And that is profound, I think, right? Yeah. So that allows you to then take a separation between the event that's happening and what it's doing to you. And I don't love that term, what you're allowing it to do to you, or what, you know, based on your experience, is being thrown up inside you.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then the opposite has to be true too. It's only shown a million times over nature. Like if I've created this, I can create that. And it's so cool that we can even talk about these things now. I feel like these things have to be talked about in secret, like, or get called like a cult and stuff like that, right? But it seems to be right now that, and again, I most of my people I know are coaches, trainers, life coaches, or, you know, sports, that kind of thing, or musicians. We're all trying to get to this thing, and we're different than like we were very much told 9 to 5, like academia, and I respect that that's there, and I respect the people that go farther in that too. But we're the generations that have created jobs. Like we've made shit up, and it's all in this like content creation. And people will talk shit, and we were talking about this the other day. Like people will talk shit and be like, oh, everyone thinks they're like a little like star creator now. It's like, well, they are. And if you don't like it, don't watch it. And if you're not doing like, I don't know, we could argue like hate speech and all that stuff. Like if you're not hurting people, do what you want, man. Like, just like, that's beautiful. And it's such a cool time to be alive right now, but you'll just never hear that. But it truly is. It's just like, we have, you know, making notes on some books and some quotes I wanted to talk today. I can go ask like an artificial intelligence that like, but like, hey man, just help me out for a second here. What are some great talking points on something that I don't feel like remembering every word from right now? And I have like lists in front of me from it, and now we can channel into a great place if we really focus. And I'm getting really like save the world right now. Yes, but
no, you're good.
I don't even wish it because I see it everywhere, but this hunger from society for explanation, understanding. And it seems to be that we're all looking for this same meaning, you know. I just heard that my headphones are going to die, so I'm going to switch over in a second.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Does it sound worse now?
It sounds decent still.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to put these in the charging because I get them back. Sorry about that.
All good, man. No problem. We are still rolling. For people that are wondering what happened, Rob's AirPods died, and
are my life. Like my AirPods, like that. I spent like a good part of last year walking around Southern California listening to like audiobooks in my ears. Like I believe in the power of silence over everything too, and I mean like inner silence as well as audio.
Yeah.
But when my headphones go, oh, it's game over for me, man.
They've been around the world. Yeah. No, I think that would be a good place to wrap it up, to be honest with you. Sure. I think we talked about a ton of stuff, and I had no question that we would have a lot of great talking points today. And yeah, first of all, thank you so much, man. This has been a lot of fun. And it's
I feel like we got to like 5% of the things I imagined us talking about. So like I can't tell you enough how grateful I am for it. And if I can just make a quick recommendation on a couple books.
Yeah, of course. Awesome. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Book recommendation led me to a place of where I am today, and I always want to pay that forward. But a couple books that I've set aside for anybody listening and watching, and we've discussed these a lot, are and again, like, I don't go into like who these guys were as people or women or were as people. I'm looking at their works, and we as a group, we can all discern and take pieces from and not support. So let's go from there. Okay. So we've probably all heard this a lot, but Marcus Aurelius's Meditations. That's where I got the win the morning, win the day. This was a great one. And just a couple, I think anyone in our industry has probably been here for that, but this is a book that was put into my stocking for Christmas one year, and I got it, and I just instantly felt like, ugh, like, I'm not like that. Like, why would I read this, like Trump Art of the Deal vibe, which is like, I would fully read that book now, whether I agree with him or not. There's everybody can teach you something or you'll learn something from it, but Think and Grow Rich. And Napoleon Hill's, I don't have it with me, but Outwitting the Devil. That's a big, big deal too. And the last one I'm gonna leave everyone with here is, if everybody, in my opinion, and in just my opinion, I love you no matter what, The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. This is the most beautiful thing I think I've ever put into my system in the world. We'd all be just chilling out, you know? Chilling out, talking about cool things. And hey, that doesn't mean we're not gonna argue. Arguing is how we get it, you know? But to sum that all up, I just go out there and get it. Go out there, and if that means I got to sit still today to feel safe, and I believe that we're all being led somewhere, and we all have powers like you cannot fathom. And spread love, man.
Yeah, no, I think like it's nice to wrap it up with those. So I appreciate the recommendations, and I think even if people don't want to read, man, there's audiobooks. There's so many ways to soak up this information too, and so. You can definitely just find alternative ways, even if you aren't big into reading. But again, I used to not like reading either, but then I changed the thought process and the narrative around it, and I now like reading. So maybe this is your sign to try picking up the right book, and maybe it'll change your thoughts on it. But for those people that want to follow you, see your content, see what you're up to, how can they go about doing so, and where can they follow you?
Sure. So as of right now, the brand is called Alchemy Strength. Relatively new. I ran under Rob Shalafu Strength and Conditioning for a long time. However, I'm working on something right now that I haven't quite fully defined. So under the name Alchemy Strength is what my business is, but just through Instagram right now, at Rob Shalafu Fitness, which is RobbChalifux Fitness, on there. So what is coming up, though, is I am trying to develop something, and we've chatted a little bit about it. We're going to have a cool place, like whether it's a book study, whether it's a couple of notes on that, whether it's experience-based, but like, you know, like, how do we help each other with little like experience-based things that aren't like, this is the way it works, this is what's going to work for you, but like, hey, this came into my paradigm, I felt this from it, maybe it'll help you, you know? And I think that that's where I'm kind of leading towards. There is all aspects of human performance. And what makes us be the best to each other, to ourselves first, and then to each other. And it all comes back to love and compassion and kindness. And I'll spread love has been my motto since day one. And it always will be at the end of the day.
Awesome. Thank you, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.